Good afternoon and welcome to the LaRouche Show. It's Saturday, March 1st, 2008. We're in the weekend before the pivotal primaries coming up on March 4th. I'm Harley Schlanger and I'll be your host. Last Thursday, on February 28th, New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who has been chosen by leading financial figures from the City of London and their allies on Wall Street to be the Mussolini of the United States, wrote an op-ed in the New York Times. This undeclared candidate for president announced that he is not running for president. Lyndon LaRouche immediately identified this as a lie. Bloomberg has been selected by would-be kingmakers and hardcore fascists, George Shultz and Felix Rohatyn, to be president because they intend to impose a top-down fascist dictatorship on the United States. Why do they want to do this? Because as LaRouche pointed out in his July 25, 2007 webcast, the financial system has already crashed. We are seeing this crash unfold and deepen daily as we move into a regime of a series of hyperinflationary shocks. And for Shultz and Rohatyn and their allies, there must be no Franklin Delano Roosevelt this time to protect and defend the general welfare. That's why they've selected Bloomberg to be their Mussolini, or as we'll hear, perhaps their Mussolini in the United States. Now, LaRouche PAC and the LaRouche Youth Movement are deployed in a highly organized, energetic manner to get the American people to not be suckered by this Shultz-Rohatyn coup aimed at installing Bloomberg in the White House. And they're deployed for the four primaries coming up this Tuesday in Texas, Ohio, Vermont, and Rhode Island. The new mass leaflet has been put out by LaRouche, Bloomberg Lies, I Am Not Running, Only Dripping Copiously, which is now being distributed in each of those states. So joining me today to discuss defeating the Bloomberg option will be EIR counterintelligence expert Michelle Steinberg and a LaRouche Youth Movement panel, which will include Memo Cano Granados, who is in Texas, Dan Sturman in Ohio, and Ali Perebikovsky in Boston. So, Michelle, welcome to the program.
Hi, Harley. Good to be here.
Why don't you start with the latest on the Bloomberg option after his lying declaration that he's not running?
Well, the absolute latest is what the LaRouche PAC is doing, and we're in production right now with a 250,000 run leaflet, which will be in Spanish and English, called Bloomberg Lies, quote, I am not running, unquote, only dripping copiously. And this is a leaflet of a statement that LPAC put out, some thoughts by Lyndon LaRouche immediately the same day as His Honor Benito Bloomberg wrote that New York Times editorial. And it hits like a ton of bricks because LaRouche said, do not be bamboozled by the Bloomberg non-announcement in a New York Times op-ed that he is, quote, not running, unquote, for president. Look at the reality and hold it up against what LaRouche has been saying for months. The financial system is already collapsed. It is doomed this year. And under these circumstances, the City of London-centered financial oligarchy and its allies on Wall Street have designated Felix Rohatyn's favorite fascist, New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg, as their man to be in the White House. Now remember, last autumn, when everybody was touting Rudy Giuliani, former New York City mayor, the self-acclaimed hero of 9-1-1, who was running on the meltdown of the World Trade Center. Everybody was saying Giuliani is not only the top choice, he is the GOP presidential nomination. And LaRouche declared that Giuliani's candidacy was dead in the water, based on a very simple look at Rudy Giuliani's crime-tainted dossier and the wide public exposure of his corruption. And Giuliani was being built up to be shot down and to take other candidates with him and also to confuse the Democrats. Particularly, the media was telling Senator Hillary Clinton, it's you against Giuliani. And LaRouche warned, the Democrats are running a stupid campaign because they have not fought Felix Roatan's fascist measures in the Congress. So they've been running a plan to defeat Giuliani, who's not going to be there. And now the second option, which London is playing with, is they've used their whole media empire to build up Barack Obama big time. For what purpose? To destroy Hillary Clinton. It's not Barack Obama who's destroying Hillary Clinton. It's the vast right-wing conspiracy. And yes, Virginia, there is a vast right-wing conspiracy. It shouldn't be called a right-wing conspiracy. It's a fascist international globalist operation. And the Bloomberg option is waiting in the wings that if Hillary Clinton were to be persuaded to give up the race and get out of the picture completely for the nomination, then the City of London financier oligarchy is poised to pull the trapdoor on Obama, whose crime dossier and crime connections, well, they're not quite as genetic as Rudy Giuliani's, since Giuliani's father and mother were both organized crime family made people. But Barack Obama's dirty connections that go from Chicago to Beirut to London to Baghdad, that's the train that people really have to look at in terms of what London has on Obama. That's going to come,
Michelle,
hitting as a ton of bricks.
Now, you've been looking into this, and it's clear that in the same way they had all these stories on Giuliani in the icebox, you know, the mistress that he was visiting on City Time and Money, his connections to Kerik, all of this was there, and he was given a free ride up to the point when they pulled the plug. So you're saying that with Obama, it's the same thing. They're building him up to use against Hillary, and then at some point, we've already seen it in London, at some point they're going to flood the U.S. What are they waiting for? Are they waiting until after March 4th with the hope that they can finish off Hillary in the March 4th primaries?
Well, they definitely want to be sure that Hillary Clinton is gone, finished, out of the race completely. I don't think that they're going to pull the plug on Obama until they're secure in that. So, of course, they're going to wait until the March 4th primaries. But they, you know, even if it's not as clear coming out of that what's going on, this is a disaster for the Democratic Party and for Barack Obama personally. That is just waiting to happen. It's there, and London is trying to clear the deck. LaRouche said in a speech he gave in Rome that would clear the deck for Bloomberg to be the Democratic presidential nominee.
So what people are seeing in general with these debates and on the primary campaign, this is just the theater while you have the real story behind the scenes, as often happens.
That's exactly the best way to look at it. You're looking at the shadows on the wall, right? You've got a bunch of puppets and a light behind them, and you're seeing a play in shadows, these debates, the campaign speeches, etc. Behind the scenes, it's a very nasty operation. And what Bush and Cheney are doing is a very nasty operation, including the potential for an Iran war before they leave office.
Well, let me just, at this point, go quickly for a quick roundup from what the LIM are doing. Then we'll come back, Michelle, because I know that you've been working on an intense dossier of the activity of Bloomberg and what's behind him, this fascist relationship with the Austrian Nazi who's the governor of California, Schwarzenegger. So I know you have quite a bit, but I want to get, for our listeners, a quick on-the-scene report from around the country with the two leaflets. Let's begin with Memo in Houston, because I know you were just out at a rodeo. In the last week, you've really hit Austin, San Antonio, and Houston hard. Why don't you give us a quick report, Memo?
There's a lot of excitement. Today, for example, the rodeo, people who necessarily are not the most informed or not even really interested in politics, when we approach them with the idea that this election is being rigged, that the real intention or the real candidate that Wall Street has handpicked is Michael Bloomberg. A lot of these guys, you know, really, they may not be too interested, but as soon as we let them know that this guy is worse than Cheney, they say, oh, well, give me one of those. Let me grab onto this. And so a lot of them, not, you know, they have felt the last 8 years of a Bush administration. And they want something. And so all throughout Texas, the Clinton supporters, it's almost as if there's something lingering in the back of their minds. They know that it's a little bit strange that Obama has been so propped up and so many people have gone to the Obama campaign. So many supporters have gone over to Obama and that Clinton is, yeah.
Let me ask you about the Obama supporters. You're talking to them. I know you've been out deploying at both Hillary rallies and Obama rallies.
Right.
What do they think when you tell them that this is an operation being run to put Bloomberg in and that Obama's a throwaway?
Well, a lot of them are shocked. A lot of them they're so emotionally riled up by the Obama campaign. A lot of them, they're a little shocked. It's almost as if their aspirations and their hopes and their everything that they've invested emotionally would go down the drain. And so it's good to warn them, because when that happens, they've been warned and they know that there is something bigger than just the speeches and bigger than what they just are being exposed to.
So you see some of them get snapped into reality so they can actually talk about something other than how wonderful Obama is?
Some of them do. And then it becomes very easy to address why that's happening. And simply they get the idea that this election really is about economics.
And I know we've gotten over 30,000 of the Mitt Romney Walks Out leaflet out. We're going to get another 10,000 or so of those, plus 10,000 of this new leaflet in the next couple of days. Is that the plan?
I know we have about 10,000. I think we might be getting more. We got about 10,000, 15,000 a couple of days ago of the Mitt Romney leaflets. And I think 10,000 are going to come up of the new leaflets.
Well, based on the rate today, I think you might be needing more of the new leaflet printed, huh?
Yeah. People have already. Michael Bloomberg did us a favor. He, by him announcing that he was not running, a lot of people it's fresh on a lot of people's minds. And so you give them the leaflet. They're like, Bloomberg, ha, he's not running. And then you say, you give them the leaflet and you just let them know, well, he's a liar. And people chuckle and whatnot, but a lot of them. What I wanted to get to simply, I just wanted to make a quick point. A lot of the Clinton supporters they have a feeling that there's something lingering in the back of their mind, and this is what we've been bringing out, that the reason why they're attacking Clinton is not because she's a woman, which a lot of them, you hear this a lot, oh, it's because she's a woman, they don't want to have a woman president. But you make it very clear to them that the fight really is FDR or fascism. And that the reason why Obama is where he is with the popularity that he's been able to achieve is simply to make sure that you don't have Hillary come in, or you don't have even an Obama potential come in and lead an economic recovery. That really Michael Bloomberg is the representative of this Wall Street fascist takeover in the country.
All right, let's go to Dan in Columbus. Dan, you getting similar responses?
Well, yeah, one thing that was brought up, this question of Obama, it's really fascinating. We've had on a number of examples where people felt like they had to vote for Obama because that was the only choice. When we were in Cleveland, one of our organizers, Philip Fisher, was approaching somebody walking off campus with their head down, thinking that she was trying to avoid one of our provocative signs about killing the Bloomberg option in the shell. And it turns out she was crying because she felt that she had to vote. She had to change her vote for Obama because that would be the only way that the Democrats could win. And when you bring up this question of why this is occurring, why people are so hyped up around Obama, because let me tell you, the campuses that we're around, I'm here right now at Ohio State University, which happens to be a very large university. The culture around Obama is just, it's fanatical. I mean, just today, our house got about three Obama leaflets. about to come out and vote. So this Obama thing is really, it's really being pushed onto the population. And there is a segment of the population that's demoralized because over the past 8 years now, they've recognized the most that they've been disenfranchised because of the stealing of the election. And on top of, you know, knowing that they've been disenfranchised through the vote fraud, now they're feeling like their vote is made for them. And, you know, it's very disturbing. Hopefully we can bring up later in the show this question of the MySpace approach to
sure.
You know, this online phenomena, which is really devastating, especially with college universities. I mean,
well, that's part of where you see the mindlessness.
Yeah, yeah. And it's also around the Bloomberg. I mean, we've had, surprisingly enough, a number of people respond to the question of Bloomberg running for president. The young people who aren't political, who just surf the web and have come about political groups on MySpace or links to these groups on MySpace in support for this, you know, this person out of nowhere that, unless you're from either New York City or have, you know, a few million dollars to spare, you wouldn't know about Bloomberg. You know, these young people happened upon this campaign. So it's fascinating.
Let me pose something to Michelle before we get to Ali's report. In the context of what Dan's saying, of course, Bloomberg is very tight with the guy who now is the main owner of MySpace, Rupert Murdoch, and Murdoch is part of this fascist oligarchy. I mean, is that partly why you would see this phenomenon, Michelle?
Yeah, well, look, the MySpace and the Facebook, this is the first campaign ever run, and YouTube run through these mass brainwashing tools that have been developed really by the oligarchy. All right, let's look at Facebook and MySpace first of all. The owner of MySpace, Rupert Murdoch, who owns Fox News, he owns the New York Post. He is really, and he's a subject of the Commonwealth, originally coming from Australia. This guy was to the right wing of Dick Cheney and everybody else. When it comes to preemptive nuclear strikes, that's the type of policy that Rupert Murdoch likes. That's what gets him sexually excited, that type of policy. And so he bought up this MySpace because it's an instantaneous profile of millions and millions of youth around the world, and a lot of boomers, I should add. I mean, if boomers want to start dating, they go to MySpace. And they voluntarily give up more information that it would take 100, you know, new wiretapping violations to catch up to what you voluntarily give up when you talk to MySpace. Plus, you give up the right to have them look into your most private emails to develop a profile. So you remember there was a big scandal. Ditto goes for Facebook, which is owned by another super billionaire, Bill Gates. And both Bill Gates and Rupert Murdoch are large financiers and participant in Bloomberg's destruction of education in New York to eliminate the Socratic method of education, to completely eliminate Lyndon LaRouche's scientific approach of recreating in the minds of young people the discoveries that were made by such geniuses as Kepler and Kuza and Socrates and Plato and so forth. Eliminate that and replace it with goose-stepping to some computerized voice. So that's your MySpace and Facebook. And I just want to give people one other idea. Remember that they were going to advertise in the following way, this herd mentality. Everybody's doing it. You can get an email that says, oh, your friend just bought a Hannah Montana videotape at such and such a Barnes & Noble. Did you buy yours yet? Mm-hmm. That's their advertising campaign. Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine what capability they have in terms of political ideas.
Well, this has been a big part of the campaign. Let me mention to our listeners, you're listening to The LaRouche Show. It's Saturday, March 1st, 2008, and we have a dynamite package, a pamphlet, on the whole mind control operations of MySpace, Facebook, and violent video games called Is the Devil in Your Laptop? And that's available. That's being distributed along with these two mass leaflets across the country, but particularly in these four primary states. And if you don't have a copy of this, you can get it by calling LaRouche Pack at 800-929-7566. And you can also go on the LaRouchePack.com website, LaRouchePack.com, to get the two leaflets, the Mitt Romney Walks Out and then the updated one after Bloomberg's op-ed, Bloomberg Lies. Both of those are available on the website. Now, let me go to Boston and Allie, who's been, I know, a lot in Rhode Island, which, you know, some people are overlooking the two smaller states because they both fit in basically in size into Houston. But Vermont and Rhode Island. Allie, what's going on up there?
Well, it's interesting what's been brought up so far, because I've noticed we've had a very politicized environment, especially around the youth, the young people. That's really the wild card in these elections, because the young people, especially in a place like Rhode Island, which has been devastated by the economic collapse, they are actually afraid for their future, and they're beginning to take politics on. The problem is with this whole MySpace Facebook culture, they are given a definition of politics which is not allowing them to really make any kind of changes. They've been profiled. So the only thing they think they can do, which is political, is to go to an Obama rally or, you know, to basically be fed up and complain about the entire process. So what we're doing is we're going out there to Rhode Island, to Vermont, to Boston, to these rallies, to the campuses, saturating them with leaflets and actually giving people a different way of looking at politics, what it means to be political. Because being political is not simply voting. It's not simply going out to a rally. It's about actually taking on an identity of a historical individual, being able to change history. And in order to do that, you have to understand the real processes which are controlling history right now. So this Bloomberg option fits right in, because people know that something is up with the elections. They understand that something is going on, and instead of them being frustrated about it, being frustrated and fitting the profile that all of these young people have, we're giving them the option of actually changing history.
Now, Allie, as part of that, it's not just going out and telling the truth about Bloomberg, but LaRouche is presenting an alternative, the FDR option, which includes the Homeowner and Bank Protection Act. And you had some very big news coming out of Rhode Island this week.
Yeah. The Rhode Island Senate became the first state legislature, state senate, I guess, to pass the Homeowners and Bank Protection Act. And this is really big, because in Rhode Island, we've been taking our contacts to come and organize with us for the Homeowners and Bank Protection Act. We've been telling everybody about this, because this is really the only, LaRouche's legislation is really the only alternative right now to the crashing financial system. And the fact is, we have an entire state, as little as it may be, it's big in ideas, because is the first one to really take that step out and set a precedent that, you know, a real declaration in a sense that no longer does Rhode Island want the government to enact policies which are not protecting the general welfare of the people. No longer is our economic system going to be based on the looting of the population.
Well, that's quite important, and I think this gives us an opportunity to jumpstart this in a number of other states where we have the possibility to, they're already in, I think, about eight or nine other state legislatures. So if people are in states where there's been motion toward passing the Homeowner and Bank Protection Act, or if there's not, we now have a victory in Rhode Island with the Senate. And when does it come up in the House?
On Tuesday.
All right, so by next week, we could have the first state with House and Senate backing the HBPA. So we can come back to that, because I think this is an important component of the discussion, defending people who otherwise, there are 2 to 5 million households that face foreclosure in this country. But I want to go back, Michelle, to this question with you on the use of the Internet to create a zombified mobilization, which the media seems so excited about. Let's go back just a year and a half ago, November 2006, where youth did come out to throw the Republicans out of control in the House and Senate in Congress. Clearly, this represented a big threat, especially because of the leadership of the LaRouche youth movement and Lyndon LaRouche's ideas in increasing that youth turnout. I know this goes back to Bertrand Russell and it goes over many, many years, but clearly this whole thing has been geared up quickly for this election.
Yeah, well, I think what Ali said is absolutely important to underline, that the wild card in this whole situation is the youth. And if we can get the youth to think and not be bamboozled by the baby boomers, who are the ones who really designed this whole media campaign, baby boomers and synarchist corrupt generation before them, like Murdoch. And this is on the LPAC website. There's a graphic of the three generations, if you will, of agents of the financier oligarchy and what they have done to really just do the mind destruction. So the wild card is the youth. If the LaRouche youth movement, if Lynn's ideas succeed in awakening the real spirit of questioning and true scientific ideas and discovery in people's minds and young people's minds, there's no stopping them. So they've used the rock star phenomenon through these very sophisticated social networking sites, MySpace, Facebook, YouTube, which give an artificial sense of democracy. I mean, what's the big take on or the big draw on YouTube? Anybody has access. Oh, we're breaking the established. Anybody has access, right? They're just sucking them in, and they will pull the plug on that phony democracy as fast as they will pull the plug on Barack Obama, and laugh at what has happened to the young people, and it'll be too late, which is why we don't have a lot of time.
And that's why we're in an escalated mobilization to not merely expose Bloomberg, but to make sure that people understand there is an alternative. I think this idea, Memo brought it up, FDR or Hitler, that's really important. Memo, when you say something like that on a college campus, do you get a sense of recognition, or is it a fight to get the idea through?
It's a lot of young people know. I mean, they have a sense that there is a need for an economic recovery. They may not know exactly all the details about how to do it, but it's not something that's completely out of left field to say that the financial system is bankrupt. A lot of them nod their heads. The majority of the young people realize that there needs to be something done with what they're hearing about a recession. They may not completely understand what this whole talk about the market drops and these types of things, but to simply make the statement that we need to have an economic recovery, something which a lot of young people are for, and it seems like the majority of the population is open to that idea and the necessity for an economic recovery.
Well, how many of them have much of a sense of FDR? Are you discovering that people don't know much about that, or they're open to learning, or what's your sense?
Well, they need to be educated, for sure. Unfortunately, a lot of what they get taught in class is the market economy, the free trade, Adam Smith version of economics. So unfortunately, this FDR impulse is something which has sort of been a little bit lost in our generation, for sure. We've never really have seen much of that quality of leadership in our lifetime. So it's something which you have to educate people. You have to say, look, there has been a time in which we faced similar situations as now, and something worked. What was it? Well, it's Franklin Roosevelt. What did he do? And then they know the New Deal. They've heard about the Tennessee Valley Authority. They know a few things about Franklin Roosevelt. But as far as something which they can associate with something just being implemented, as far as implementation of that policy, that's something where you have to sort of sit them down and educate what it is we have to do, what it is we're talking about, how Lynn is describing an economic recovery.
Now, Michelle, I'd like to go back to this question of Bloomberg's fascism, because I think this is something that we cannot emphasize enough, that a lot of young people think fascism, and their parents are fascists, they ground them. You know, and there actually is not just a historic policy, but there's a continuity from history, from Mussolini and Hitler up to Bloomberg through people like Schultz and Rowett. And I wonder if you just would lay that out for people so they get
Yeah, that's perfect, Harley. I'm going to try and be brief on this because it's both now and it's historical. And it's a little difficult to describe succinctly, but it's one of the most important questions. Look, let's go back to the February 28th, I am not running statement that Bloomberg put out. If you know history, if you know what the economic system that came in with Mussolini called corporatism is, as soon as you read that article, it jumps out at you what Bloomberg's game is. The problem is most people don't know it. The LaRouche movement knows it because we know history, and the corporatist fascists themselves know it because they're living it. So it's really an us against them situation. But what jumped out at me is that is Bloomberg said, this election is too important to sit out. I don't intend to not be an influence, and I will put my support, and some of his supporters are saying, his money behind any candidate who rises above and beyond partisanship. Well, you know that immediately is what Barack Obama's handlers are saying in every single thing. And but then Bloomberg says,
but so is McCain.
I have to say, I don't get as inundated as with McCain,
right,
as you do. You can't read anything without a million references to Barack Obama. But I think you're right. But I think McCain's the dark horse in the Bloomberg option at present.
Mm-hmm.
Only because the game is get rid of Hillary. So Obama's really being built up.
Right.
So, but when he says the party's over, that should be seen as a kind of coded message. Stamp out Franklin Delano Roosevelt. There's not, I mean, what does he mean by that? The Republican Party, especially after 8 years of Bush and Cheney, represents absolutely nothing but insanity. So most Republicans are running as far away from the idea that they're Republicans as they possibly can. So when he says the party is over, a candidate has to say the party, as in political parties, is over. Bloomberg is speaking for Roatan, Schultz, and the whole finance oligarchy, saying no Franklin Delano Roosevelt revivals. And we looked into this, and first of all, his main platform is an outfit called Building America's Future.
Mm-hmm.
It's financed by the Rockefeller Foundation. A woman by the name of Judith Rodin, or Rodan, as for those who remember the horror movies. And Building America's Future is a project of Arnie Schwarzenegger and Michael Bloomberg, the Benito Mussolini. And Harley reminds me in a minute, we nailed our LaRouche PAC organizers from Philadelphia and New York nailed Bloomberg on Wall Street and at City Hall yesterday with our own mm-hmm. version of Benito Mussolini doing a tour, and it really rocked City Hall, I'll tell you that. But So that is one aspect. Building America's Future, the Rockefeller Foundation, is a way to have infrastructure built by private owners only. All the infrastructure will be owned by private investors, shareholder values. There will be some public money into it because this is a looting operation. And then we, the citizens, after paying for this darn stuff, are going to have to pay again. Our tax money will have helped build it, like these crazy plans to sell off the New Jersey Turnpike, which cost hundreds of billion dollars to build, sell it off for $9 billion, and then the tolls are going to be absolutely unaffordable to private interests.
And this is an exact imitation of the policies that the so-called infrastructure policies of Mussolini.
That's right. The infrastructure was built to build a cash flow for the super rich. And that's the end of the game. You know, that's the end of the game. The rest of us are serfs, slaves, whatever you want to call it.
And
the lower
80%
has no access to public education, no access to good infrastructure, health, hospitals. And you got to remember, healthcare institutions, hospitals, and schools are one of the most important forms of infrastructure that a nation state has.
And I would point out that we've been documenting this week by week in the Executive Intelligence Review, the articles on the Schwarzenegger-Bloomberg collaboration, their effort to recruit other governors, which now include almost 13 or 14 governors, other mayors, including the mayor of Washington, D.C., they're on a recruitment drive, and they're using the fact that the infrastructure has collapsed because of the looting policies of the last 30 years to say, oh, now we're going to build infrastructure. But I find one of the biggest ironies, Michelle, that Felix Rowatin, who set up a banker's dictatorship to tear down infrastructure in New York City, is able to put himself forward as a credible spokesman for new infrastructure projects.
That's right. That's right. And that's where the ignorance and the mind destruction of the Internet is so important to combat. I want to add in one other crucial concept, because this concept I'm going to now tell you about. What Bloomberg, Rowatin represent is the post-nation state world, right? One super government, universal fascism. And that ties it in directly into the secret destruction of sovereignty in Europe, which Helga Zeplerush has exposed, known as the Lisbon Treaty. So we're looking at a phenomenon, Harley, of one idea, one fascist idea across two continents for now and then for the rest of the world, which is to replace nation states with city states and bring us back to feudalism. Let me quote from you, this will be the last thing, and then we can just open it up for all kinds of discussion. Here's a quote from April 2000. Felix Rowatin was the ambassador to France at that time, and he convened the first transatlantic summit of mayors, fully supported by the National Conference of U.S. Mayors, and still supported by them to this day. Now, one of Felix's stars was then mayor of Denver, Colorado, Wellington Webb. And he told the delegates, if there is one team I would like to impart during this session, it is. The 19th century was the century of empires. The 20th century was the century of nation states. The 21st century will be a century of cities. Our cities are economic engines that drive our respective nations' economies, and through our collective efforts and partnership, we can fully claim the role of international and economic cultural brokers. And this is Bloomberg's project. He's going to be holding a conference, I believe it's in April or May. The details aren't fully out yet, of the major cities of the world in New York City to basically establish cities as having independent financial identities, diplomatic identities. They can declare themselves to be free trade zones. This is almost a secessionist movement away from the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that Bloomberg will try to deliver, and this is the program he is trying to push. for the presidential election, and nobody's talking about it. We've got to blow the lid off this sky high.
And I think that to again make the connection with history, we have to make it clear that in the mind of Shultz and Rowetten and their backers, the problem in the 1930s is they did get fascist regimes in Italy and Germany and Spain. They were able to undermine in France and take over France. But their big failure was the United States, because in the United States, we rejected fascism and under the leadership of Franklin Roosevelt led a global resistance to not only defeat fascism, but to restore the nation state at the end of the war. And this time, they're combining the movement with the Lisbon Treaty and the destruction in Europe with the Bloomberg option in the United States. Now, just to, we have about just under 20 minutes left, and I'd like to get a kind of fast-paced discussion going here. Let me just tell you, you're listening to the LaRouche Show. We're discussing what we hope will be the push to finish off Bloomberg and the Bloomberg option. And in fact, we don't just hope it will be, but your future depends on this. If we don't defeat these guys, we will have fascism because the financial system has already blown up, and we're seeing chunks of it come down on our head day after day after day. The fact that President Bush went out the other day and said we're not in a recession just shows you what you already knew. He's clueless. We're in a depression already. Now, I'd like to go back to Dan because he was talking a little bit. You know, Dan's an old Southern California boy, and he's been spending a lot of time now in the Midwest, and I'd like to get a sense, Dan, from you of the shocking effects of seeing a once industrialized area that's been turned into a scrap heap.
Well, I think Ohio might have been intentionally chosen to be the state where the most of the elections have been stolen in 2004 and 2000, because this population, let me tell you, has been demoralized beyond belief. I've never seen anything as bad as here in Ohio and Michigan. The only response that you're getting is from the young population. Unfortunately, it's like a Nuremberg rally response. I would say ultimately, We've got a lot of people who recognize the situation, like I was going through before. People feel that Obama is the only person that they can vote for. Obama's leading rallies from churches, leading early election votes, you know, taking people right from the church right over to, you know, election poll, make them vote early so that if they change their minds within the next day or two, whether they figure out he's as corrupt as, you know, as Mayor Giuliani is, they won't be able to change their vote. So ultimately, people recognize who Bloomberg is, this Obama situation, and it's just a matter of opening their minds to really what the situation is. Because really, once you bring it up, what Memo brought up is that once you allow the individual to recognize the economic situation, the fascist situation that we're in, this quote conspiracy theory, it disappears. It becomes reality, and it's easier to get somebody to then organize their friends, which is a very real situation. We have people taking literature because they internalize the situation and make it possible for the mass effect to get this everywhere that you can possibly imagine. So Ohio, it's not impossible. It definitely isn't impossible. People recognize that they've had their elections stolen before, and that if you open their eyes to the fascist possibility, then it could definitely be, you know, a 180. You have people that just, you know, rebel against Obama and just go completely towards Clinton. But that's only if we do our jobs right. Hopefully people listening can help us organize.
Well, let me mention something for people in Columbus. Tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, I'm going to be a guest on a radio program in Columbus on Magic 98.9, which will be an opportunity to discuss this further. So if you're in Ohio, you can definitely organize your friends. And actually, if you go to Magic 98.9 Columbus, Ohio on the Google, You can probably get a live stream if you're not in Columbus. But I think this is a good opportunity in the days leading up to the election, the primary election, to get people more involved in a discussion of this, of stopping the Bloomberg option, stopping fascism in the United States. Now, Ali, I'd like to just ask you, given that we have a deployment in the so-called Athens of America in the Boston area, you know, this is an area which was one of the first places to have massive emphasis on computers. And what happens when you go to MIT and Harvard with the devil in the laptop? What do you find there?
Oh, that's funny. Well, we have we've gone to MIT a few times, but we sort of stopped deploying there. It was a little bit tough. We're going to definitely go back. MIT and Harvard are really the centers of not only of the Athens of America, but they're the centers of this way of thinking that's destroying the young people nowadays. I mean, what we're finding is these are the people who have been indoctrinated the most. These are the people who are the most confused as to what's going on. We're actually getting a much greater response from people who are more greatly affected by the financial collapse. But the interesting thing that we're definitely going out with is we're actually, by attacking the MySpace, by going after MySpace digital thinking, what's happening is these people are finally realizing what it is that's caused all of the problems in our economy, in politics that we have right now. Well, so we're getting a lot of people to come through the office. But, I mean, the main problem is how do you actually get this these people to realize that they're being played, in a sense, played to become fascists.
Well, I think you have to shock them, first of all, and then teach them. Give them, do what you did today with a class on CUSA.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Michelle, it occurred to me that, by the way, remember, Michelle, our old slogan for Harvard?
Before Hitler, there was Harvard.
That's right. we should revive that, because this is a repository of something.
And that refers to the eugenics, which is very, very pertinent to Bloomberg, because the other ally behind the scenes with Bloomberg is Al Gore.
Mm-hmm.
And Middlebury College and so forth, because of all of the potential politicians in the United States, the U.S. Conference of Mayors decided to give its Green Award to Michael Bloomberg a couple of months ago.
Hmm. Well, also, you have from Middlebury College, you have the Rowett and Schultz duo pushing the revolution in military affairs with the privatization of the Army and security forces, which you probably would need if you're going to impose this kind of Bloomberg top-down fascist policy.
Right. I got a question for the organizers also. What do we find when we're organizing? I have some ideas from my own field organizing, but you guys are at it on a much broader scale every day. What do we find is the most difficult thing to get across on what this Bloomberg phenomenon is?
Memo, you want to start?
Yeah. Well, I think one of the problems I've been facing with the organizing on the destroying Bloomberg is you find that some people you just get the I've never heard of them, I'm not interested, but then you get to the core of the matter, the fact that Wall Street is really freaked out about having a policy which establishes a policy of a federal government intervention. But I think I think one of the most difficult things is simply been to get people here in Texas, especially to get people out of the hype. There's so much hype over Obama and Clinton. So much excitement that they almost respond like, oh, I'm here simply for Clinton. If it's not Clinton, don't don't tell me about it. Oh, if it's not for Obama, I don't want to hear it. But then you simply attack. The way to approach that problem is, well, you have to realize that they don't even that there's an attempt to bring both candidates down. There's an attempt to bring Obama and Clinton down to make wave. To once the smoke clears out, to have Michael Bloomberg be the only probable candidate. But I would say that that's one of the more difficult things out here in Texas. People getting kind of caught in the hype.
Right.
How about up in the Boston area, Allie?
I think the toughest thing is it's tough to get people to realize their own potential, that they're not so little. Because the thing with this MySpace, with the Facebook, with the kind of culture we have now, is it makes people very little. It doesn't really give them much options to change what's going on right now. To actually, it doesn't give them any opportunity to say, look, I can figure out and change history so that we do not go with fascism. So I find when we're briefing people, not only on Bloomberg, but especially this double fascism, Bloomberg and the Lisbon Treaty, people freak out. I mean, they literally have a crisis because they understand that there is something very insane going on, but they have no tools to change it. So our challenge is to quickly give them the tools, give them the optimism necessary, give them the history and the knowledge necessary to be able to become bigger, to take on the kind of responsibility for their own history, kind of responsibility that they need to take on to be political, to be really political, and not just go out to a Hillary rally or an Obama rally.
See, I think there's an important point there, which is that one of the ways that fascism triumphed in the 20s and 30s was through symbolism, through the grand effect of the Nuremberg rallies and Mussolini's march on Rome, you know, the creation of these people as the great saviors on a white horse. And I think, Michelle, you were going to tell us about the Mussolini rally. I mean, I can just tell you from seeing Michael Bloomberg in Norman, Oklahoma, when they really unveiled this thing back in January, the guy is a short little putz. I mean, you look at him, he barely sat. I think they had telephone books on his chair so he could see over the table. And, you know, he's not an imposing figure, but they're creating this idea of the multi-billionaire, the competent guy who's unbound by any party, any ideology. And that's part of the way they run this thing. But Michelle, you were going to give a report on what we did up in outside his offices in New York City.
Oh yeah, we really, really landed a killer blow. And you're right, he is a nothing. As you know, we had a show a few weeks ago with Spencer Cross, and he told us about the book
The
Sawdust
Caesar,
right?
Yeah.
That Mussolini himself was a nothing. And what Lyndon LaRouche was saying in a working meeting, private working meeting with the LIM here in Virginia, look, Bloomberg is a weak personality. He's got $11 billion, which he claims now in private conversations he's worth $40 billion. It's just unbelievable.
That's what Bill Gates calls a poor man.
Yeah. Right, but he lives with his mommy. He's gone through, or he might as well live with her. He's gone through a number of marriages, including to a British citizen, and that's why he proudly said when he spoke in London, in Blackpool actually, in September 2007, to the British establishment, "We will forgive you. If you will forgive us for 1776, we'll forgive you for 1812. If Washington had been president, that man would have gone on trial for treason and been hung. So he's a weak personality. He can't take criticism. And the more we're in his face, the LIM in Washington, D.C. really nailed him 1 week before he wrote the op-ed. Mm-hmm. One LIM organizer you know, went right up to him in when he was appearing with Mayor Fenty in this ridiculous populist ride on the metro and said, so when are you going to announce your Bull Mussolini option? And he said, what did you say? And, you know, he was taken aback. And then the other limb organizer got to ask him a question in front of these fawning reporters and said, you know, do you think that Mussolini would be pleased with your efforts to impose corporatism or that you're going too fast? And it was like somebody slapped cold water in his face. And he grabbed the leaflet, folded it up, crumpled it up, folded it up, put it in his pocket, took it home with him. And 1 week later, he writes, I am not running for president. And Lynn said that Michael Bloomberg's the kind of kid who would get diarrhea every time he had to go out to the playground. He's a weak personality. And if we do our job right, the image of Bloomberg as a weakling like this will be all over the internet, and it'll take on a life of its own. So what I've found in the reports, the more creative, fun, I mean, remember the fun that we've had in destroying Cheney. I mean, he's like a wounded bear growling and gnawing on his own paws somewhere in some cage. This is what we have to do in terms of Bloomberg as well. And so this was a very funny deployment. One of the LPAC members, a person of my generation, the baby boomer generation.
An old guy.
Yeah, an old guy. He costumed up as Benito Mussolini. The uniform is perfect, the high boots, the jodhpurs, the hat, everything. Only he was wearing a little tail, a long tail, and the dictator's hat, army hat, has musketeer ears on it. So they had a huge banner, Benito Mussolini, Bloomberg's corporatism is my kind of fascism. And Benito Mussolini was striking the dictator's pose, you know, chin up in the air, just beautifully, all over. We went to City Hall. A Daily News reporter comes out to interview Mr. Mussolini. What's your name? My name is Benito Mussolini. And the Daily News guy said, look, this is the only thing being talked about inside. This is out everywhere. And then they did a visit to Wall Street at Brown Brothers Harriman. Mr. Mussolini, or the Fuhrer, he kissed the plaque and said, thank you, Brown Brothers Harriman, you were there for us. This is being filmed, people with their cell phones. Now, on Wall Street, there's a huge bull, right? Bullish on outside of Merrill Lynch. And the bull, of course, is the symbol of the Mithra pagan cult. So Mussolini performed a ritual, a Mithra ritual. I don't even imagine what it is. But look,
the authentic one.
I hope not. But anyway, this was a very, very successful effort. Thousands and thousands of pieces of literature got out, and this is one for the record. And if we keep this up, I think Lynn's insight is powerful. He's a weak personality.
But I think this goes directly with what Ali was saying also, that you get out the truth about this option and the truth about what miserable creatures these are and what they're trying to impose. And at the same time, you take the HBPA, you take the LaRouche-Roosevelt economic reforms, and then give people an understanding of the scientific basis for making these kinds of forecasts that allowed Lynn to forecast the demise of Giuliani and the rise of Bloomberg, and also devise a plan to defeat him. So it's in that it's not just that we want to demean these guys. They're out to destroy the potential of every one of these youth flocking to these rallies to become serious thinkers. So we're running short on time. I just think it's very important that people call in, get the Devil in the Laptop pamphlet, and call it 800-929-7566. Go to the website, LaRouchePAC.com, and download the leaflets and mobilize these next few days as though your nation depends on it, because it does. So Michelle, Ali, Memo, and Dan, thank you very much. This has been the LaRouche Show, and we will be back as every Saturday next week at 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
Have fun.